Hello, this is the Love Letter Squad. I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen. And welcome again to Love Letters Live for a story and a love letter. And Teresa and I know that in every experience in life, I believe, and I know Teresa does too, and maybe you out there will recognize this, that whatever you go through in life, any kind of a challenge, unexpected blessings, anything even funny or delightful in your life, there are the seeds of a love letter. Someone could hear from you and get a thank you or an I remember this. Or
an apology.
Apologies are one of the most satisfying, elegant forms of love letters ever. We have to do something on that one day. Mm-hmm. I love those. I love writing them. Mm-hmm. They're so good. And so, yes, for anyone at any time, really for any reason, that you can put something in a compassionately loving way and your truth put to paper really qualifies as a love letter. So today is going to be interesting and a little bit different. We're going to go to Sue Connolly, who is our guest right now. And Sue is the founder of the Kit List, it's kitlist.org, which is a 68,000-person community of job seekers and employers. And in today's world, with unemployment so high and so frightening, this is a good thing to know about. So may I just go right to you and you can tell us how you came to develop the Kit List?
Sure. The Kit List actually stands for Keep in Touch. It was as simple as that. And I was keeping in touch with my really great friends at Silicon Graphics, which at one point in time was one of the darlings of the Silicon Valley. And as I went on to other clients, and I'm a consultant, so mm-hmm. I work with many companies.
Consultant in what? What is it you offer?
I do marketing communications and marketing strategies. Mm-hmm. And basically whenever someone wants any company wants to connect in a meaningful way with their customers, I come in.
So between company and customers.
Exactly. mm-hmm. So the Kit List was simply my keep in touch email list with my friends at SGI, and we'd get together periodically to keep in touch. And then SGI suddenly had its first of many but very huge layoffs, mm-hmm. and I put an APB out to recruiters I knew and friends I knew and clients and said, hey, there's this really incredible group of people who are very talented who are going to be on the streets in about 2 weeks, and send me what you have and you can grab this top talent. And that began.
And people did?
They did. Mm-hmm. In the whole spirit of helping people out, helping each other out, people would send me emails. I'd send it out, kind of package it up and send it out to my group of friends. And it grew from there. So it grew strictly by word of mouth, friends telling friends, to the 68,000 friends I have now.
You know, this is so critical. In today's newspaper, I noticed in the morning newspaper, they talked about the three economists who won the Nobel Prize for their efforts. And it was explaining, essentially, why, you know, the theory or the workings behind why there are so many jobs available and still such high unemployment. Did you see that, Teresa?
No, I didn't. But I think it has to do with skills and abilities.
Well, I don't know what it... I mean, I don't know yet what it has to do with. I just, as I was leaving the house this morning, I saw that. And doesn't that fit right in somehow with what you're offering?
You know, it really
does. To close
that
gap.
Well, the thing is, companies right now are looking for the moon in some respects.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this incredibly talented, highly skilled group of people who are either actively looking or think they're going to be having new looks shortly, or people mm-hmm. who are also not really thrilled where they're at right now and open to new opportunities. And with that, you want to be able to find that magic connection where you hook up the correct person with the opportunity. And it's not just the opportunity. It's also people are still looking at culture and fit because we spend so much time working.
Well, now, is this for full-time employment or is
this for both?
Can it be freelance and anything?
It's for consulting. And actually, the Kit List is for consulting mm-hmm. and permanent. And I encourage people to think of both because I've loved the consulting world, and you find so many benefits to that. But the point here is that companies are being rather specific about what they need. And when you think about your circle of friends, you know a lot of people. And mm-hmm. somewhere in that circle is someone where that fit or someone they know, you can help by the kind of the power of friends get the right people lined up.
Now,
so
can
it's
you
the jungle
us,
drums, basically.
Yeah, that's so nice to put it that way, because that simplifies it and makes it so basic. Just no falderall. It's just that exactly. So tell us about your life and the bumps and whatever it was that made you sensitive to this.
Well, that's the exact theme that I've been trying to tell people about. Don't be afraid of the bumps in the road. We're all hitting bumps. Life will guarantee it. That's a part of the beauty of our experience. But there have been various points in my life where things, you know, I kind of call it kind of like the waves of wallops, you know, where you get one thing that happens and you think, okay, I can kind of handle this. And another thing happens and you kind of take pause, and then yet another thing. And finally, you kind of say, wait a minute, you know, all right, God, you know, what cosmic message am I not getting? And rather than thinking you're being punished or that there's something that you are doing wrong, it's actually looking at this as an opportunity. And I had my own bump in the road.
What was that?
It actually was a rut on Mount Tamalpais. I was mountain biking. I was an early mountain biker, and I made it all the way up the mountain. And then on the way down, I ran into my own literal and figurative bump in the road, and I was going too fast and hit a runoff ditch that had my name on it, and smashed my wrist quite seriously, and ended up with a metal wrist after that.
Oh, my goodness.
But what had happened, and I think the mountain metaphor really worked, because I kind of was likening myself. Well, I felt like Sisyphus pushing that big boulder up the rock, the boulder up the mountain so many times. I was working on health and fitness. I was working on, you know, trying to find a new consulting client. I was working on all these various things. I was actually, you know, working on my spirituality, working on a lot of things. And I just felt like every time I worked so hard, I'd kind of push that boulder up a little bit, and then sure
roll
enough,
right
the boulder
back on your
would
head.
Come back
yeah.
down again.
Yeah.
And so and it was one of those things, like, it was okay, all right, God, what am I not getting? What message am I not getting when I finally found myself face down in the dirt with...
Were you by yourself?
No, I was with my sister and brother, who fortunately could...
And there's a good message here that you should never do anything dangerous by yourself.
It wasn't dangerous. I made it dangerous.
Apparently it was, yes. Okay.
So, but... And actually, I think the point is, too, you are never alone. And I also learned the lesson that you do need to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
I think in our... And it wasn't that I'm so independent that I don't feel like I need help, but I think in our society now, I think we feel that we don't have a right to ask for help.
Oh.
I think that...
Do we feel it makes us look weak?
Or you don't want to impose.
Uh-huh.
And I think that that actually opens up an opportunity for people to give and
yes,
the grace of giving.
Like,
and
oh.
it's really hard, because I think many of us are used to giving and you feel comfortable with that. You know, volunteerism, you pitch in and do something for someone else. But man, it's tough to ask for something. And I also found that when you know someone who's in a crisis, even a small one, because a small one might be that last wallop that just was sort of the last straw for someone, don't just say, oh, let me know if you need any help. I had some friends who just came in and said, come on, we're getting you out of the house. We're going to go for dinner. Just go get involved in your life. Yeah, just get in there. Because
do something specific.
Because people really don't want it. They really don't want to impose. And the person who has something happen to them. So if there's a death in the family or something, everyone does the casserole patrol. But after things settle down, just go and just get face-to-face. So I think kind of the whole keep-in-touch idea is make it personal. Make it in person as much as you can, and have little touches here and there that you do. But for me, I want people to know that when the bad things happen, that it's actually a catalyst to something extraordinarily good.
Okay, so go back to you're lying face down in the ditch.
Yeah.
With your wrist in five pieces.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So,
what was happening at that
your
time?
Your mind and your heart.
Well, so I've been working really hard on a lot of things. So I had no money coming in. I was, you know, and then suddenly I had a client go bankrupt, and it was costing me about $80,000.
Oh my.
So I had to pay money back to a company that had gone default.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had no client, no work coming in. I had to pay money out. Then I had my $26,000 broken wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like I got kind of the why me thing. And I wasn't trying to have a pity party, but there was something where you look and you think, I'm doing all these things to help people find jobs on the kit list. I was doing it.
Well, how can you not feel why me when all that combines?
Well, and what it really was is it was kind of the proverbial kick in the pants. that I finally got so scared and so worried that I finally had to do a couple things about the kit list, which I knew I needed to do, but I
this
also,
was still in your head at the time.
No, you had already been in touch.
Actually,
I've been doing the kit list for about 7 years.
So this is now
years.
How you take the kit list into something more...
I made it more formal and took it to the next level.
And what was that?
It was creating the website. It was actually having to incorporate, so I had to protect myself because actually I did have an interesting person try to threaten me with a suit. Even though
over
I was doing
this?
It,
over the kit list?
Yeah, even though I was doing it free of charge and just trying to help people out. So it just... All of these things kind of culminated in my finally, well, two things. I realized that fear is, for me, a positive motivating factor. Mm-hmm. I always am battling the fear monster, and I think most people are.
So that's a skill to learn how to develop, how to turn fear into positive action.
Well, it is, because usually I find among my friends and my circle that when things are going well, we know we need to get things done, but we get kind of complacent.
Yeah.
And it isn't until you get that, you know, that fear monster that's staring in the face that I get moving. And I don't want to use that as my only motivator, but I realize
but
that...
But it's nice to let people know that that can be a strong and acceptable motivator.
And you can turn it, because I finally realized that fear in its proper dimension, its proper size, does give me that motivation.
Okay,
to
so what did you
moving.
Do specifically then
well, in that
to
case,
change the kit list?
Well, actually, I needed help. Mm-hmm. The kit list was... I was buried in work. I was really struggling with trying to keep it going. But every time I felt like I was going to close it, I would get an email that was poignant. And
well, so you did have those moments that you had...
Many moments, but they'd been 7 years.
Yeah.
So I was working my regular consulting work during the day and late into the evening, and then I'd work on the kit list all night long. And people would get emails at 4:30 in the morning, and they'd say, oh, you're up early. And I'd roll my eyes and think, no, I've been up all night. So... it finally, and I had people step in and help when I really just was flat out, you know, I couldn't handle it any longer. So this allowed me to finally formalize the kit list. I started charging a little amount to the employers and recruiters, which I was told for years to do, but didn't feel comfortable doing. Because I always said the kit list is a service. It really was not my idea. It's sort of your destiny bumping you in the nose, which I think is another...
But then if you're starving to death, you can't do any good for anyone.
Well, that I always had my consulting work, but this is in the middle of the dot-com bust, and there was no work to be had. And the funny thing about the kit list is everybody thinks I'm so well-connected that I never have to worry about finding work myself. So here I was helping other people find work, yet I had no work myself and was actually kind of having the reverse effect because people thought I was the last person that might need a referral or a recommendation. So... And that's, I think, another thing people need to look at is sometimes the strongest person around you, and I'm not saying I'm the strongest, but sometimes that person might need something that they might not either realize they need or might not feel comfortable articulating.
The other reality is you can be enormously strong in one area of life and enormously weak in another. Your talent may be...
Exactly.
Yes.
And that's what we're meant to be. That's where we are, the combination of our strengths and our weaknesses. And one of the things, the lessons about the bumps in the road, is I realize that you do end up, a weakness can turn into a strength. Or when something bad happens, you end up developing new muscles in an area of either resourcefulness or courage or strength. And I find And with the kit list, I hear so many amazing stories from people, and among my own circle of friends, of people who've really endured very, very difficult things and stayed the course. They kept doing the right thing. They didn't turn into nasty people. They didn't do nasty things. And sure enough, there was this incredible abundance, and the karmic cycle did come back in amazing ways. So I always do want to tell people, keep on it. Keep doing the right thing. Don't lose heart. Reach out and get some help. And in the meantime, also, when you're in the midst of your most dire crisis, one of the ways to get out of it is also to think, who is in a different space than I and might need my help? And that's where I kind of came up with the idea of friend working, because I don't like the concept of networking. It seems very cold and calculated. And most people are uncomfortable, and I tend to be a people person, but I really feel uncomfortable networking, and I'm scared to walk into a room that I don't know anybody. So I thought rather than, and also you feel like when you're going there, you have an attitude of a beggar, like alms for the poor, mm-hmm, looking for a job, mm-hmm, looking for mm-hmm. that, need this, need that. And I thought, why don't you just turn the mentality on its ear? And instead of saying, I need something, come with the spirit of, I'm here to
give. I can do this for you.
But, and the spirit of helping. And suddenly that frees you up. It's almost when you go to a party and someone hands you a platter of hors d'oeuvres and say, hey, can you pass the hors d'oeuvres around?
You've got a purpose.
Instead of standing in the corner, you suddenly have a mission.
Yeah.
So I always, was the idea of friend working, not networking. And it, even if it's a room of complete strangers, they're just friends you haven't met yet. Mm-hmm. And I went to an event a while ago, and I didn't know anybody, and I almost didn't go because my cohorts weren't going to be able to make it. And I made myself go, and sure enough, the first person I met ended up becoming someone who has been a great technical advisor and resource for me on the kit list. But And I could think of another event where mm-hmm. I met a dear friend for life that I went by myself, didn't know who I was going to meet, and you end up changing your destiny by going somewhere.
Well, this is just wonderful. Everything you've said has been just so helpful and so illuminating.
Well, I'm still learning.
Well, you know, God bless you that you can just keep learning and passing it on. But I have a question, because we are about love letters. And who would get a love letter from you were you to write one right now, which is going to be your homework mm-hmm. and your assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm listening to you, and I could write about six of them already to people in your life.
Well, I think my love letter is to someone who's looking for a job.
Someone specific. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Okay.
And part of it is that I'm actually thinking of people who have had stellar careers and now are trying to figure out the what next. And companies aren't jumping to hire them, probably for the first time in their careers. And I think it's this time of reflection to say, you know, what looks like a bad thing is actually a really beautiful gift in disguise, and that this will become a transformational experience for you. You will learn incredible things.
But who are you going to send this to?
Well, there's...
Because we like things that are really stamped and mailed and in your handwriting. So although a letter to everyone is wonderful and maybe something you want to put on your website, who would get the thrill of receiving a specific letter from you to say, here's what I've been able to do thanks to you? I'm thinking to the people you were with when you had your accident, you know, to say, here's where I have come from the day, you know, and I'm so glad you were with me. Or to a couple of, or this woman you say, I'm assuming it's a woman, I don't know why, the person who's turned out to be the technical advisor.
Actually, the letter I would like to write to
mm-hmm.
is a woman who sent me an email a long time ago, and I've never been able to reach her, but at one of the points when I was, again, flat out, didn't think I could do the kit list anymore, and I got an email from a woman who said that she was the sole income earner for her family. She was out of work, and her husband had cancer, very serious cancer. And that one email made me realize that no matter how hard things were for me at that point in time, I almost had no right to close down the kit list. And
you know her name and where to get her, right?
I don't.
Oh, so how
I've been trying to reach her. I've gone through my emails. I've been trying to find her.
Mm-hmm.
But she's become the person, she's the face, without ever having meeting her, without ever having met her, of each person in the kit list, where it's not just a job. We're talking about lives here. And I don't have a way to reach her personally, but I will write this letter, and I will give it to her when, and she will show up again.
Okay.
I know that.
Oh, I'm so glad you're saying that. Because
it works that way.
Yes,
and
so
somehow,
glad.
And she has been a motivator for me when I really just felt like I was faltering.
So, do you remember her name?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't know her name. I don't have her email. And it was one lone email that she sent me saying, thank you for the kit list.
Okay. So, dear friend, let's plan this out and do this as an example of how to write a love letter to someone specific whose name you can't remember and you have no idea where to reach her.
I would say my dear courageous friend.
Okay. And I'm going to take notes for you and, sure. and give it to you. And let's do this first. So what is it you want to tell her?
You don't know this.
Oh, what a wonderful way to start. Okay, go ahead. You're just what the doctor ordered. Yes, you
do. Well, I've had a lot of time to think about this woman.
Good. You don't know this.
But your email
mm-hmm.
has become the banner
mm-hmm.
under which I keep the efforts going for the kit list.
Okay.
You epitomize the quality and the character of the people in this amazing community, most of whom I've never met, but who I care about deeply. And I realize that in this web world on the net, you made it intensely personal for me to know that there's that what I'm doing in the wee hours of the morning in my dark office is actually helping. And it gave me encouragement to know, and also a kick in the pants, to realize that no matter how tough things were for me, they weren't. I didn't have a husband who was dying.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Wasn't the sole income earner. And I realized that families are impacted by this, and it's much bigger than any of us can imagine, and that the power of friends helping friends does change things. And she's been sort of my talisman. I think about her mm-hmm. whenever I kind of falter.
So I think about you whenever I falter, because your strength in facing being the sole earner
yeah.
and a sick husband.
And I want to know, is he still alive? Is he a cancer survivor? How's your family? Did you get a job? What are you doing? I desperately want to meet her and to know that everything is okay. And no matter what happens, I know that she's going to be okay. But I want to be able to reach out to her the way she reached out to me. And she gave me encouragement when I really needed it.
Okay, so that'll all be you gave me encouragement.
Yes.
Okay, so since there's no real rush for this, you actually have time to think about it. I'm not going to give you notes I took because you talked too fast for me to write.
Sorry.
However, no, that's good. But you'll be able to hear this when it airs mm-hmm. and take all this information, or it's so clearly in your heart and right in your mind anyway. I would say, you write the letter.
And have it ready.
Yes. You put it in an envelope and even just address to my dear, courageous friend. And, yes, like you said, she'll show up sometime, and when she does, you get her address. And, you, by the way, let's talk about how important it is to put a date on a love letter.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget. Mm-hmm. Because let's say you mail it in 2 years from now for some reason. And when she gets it, she'll see how long you've been, how long ago this you did this.
How long mm-hmm. ago was it that she wrote it? Do you have a night? What year?
That
in
was
general?
Probably around 2003.
So you want to mention that, since your email in 2003,
yes.
specific dates.
And I've been trying. I've gone through my emails. I've done every kind of search I
what
can.
What if you post something on your website saying, you know, I'm looking for you.
Yeah.
Is it worth it, or can you do it? Or
I'm kind of bound by my own guidelines that people expect certain things from the kit list. The emails are specifically a job, but I will try to find either through the blog or something.
Yes, but then we can help. I mean, talk about asking for help. We can, mm-hmm. I'll do an article about it for ourexaminer.com column mm-hmm. and tweet it.
I would love it.
And let's just get...
Right, using your friend work.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Your new best
friend.
There
may be other people, if you say this was 2003, this is a woman, you know, in this situation, she sent, I'd love to get in touch with her. Somebody may know this woman.
Okay,
but
well...
you don't know where... She might be in the Bay Area. I mean, your kit list is nationwide, so
it
she
is.
Could be anywhere.
I don't
anywhere.
Know where she was.
But okay, world, let's help Sue find this woman.
Yes, I agree.
Let's draw exactly draw in and, everybody's
and
help.
I know. I really... just. Talking to both of you, I realize she will come forward. I will.
Oh, I was going to tell you that before you said it.
Oh.
I mean, because I was getting the feeling, just do this letter, she'll come, and then you say yes.
It's funny. There are no coincidences, and actually, I do believe the world is now 2 degrees of separation.
Yes, so, I agree.
And the nice thing about the internet is it is allowing us more ways of connectedness and finding the levels of connectedness. Mm-hmm. You find out how many friends know other friends. So I look at this as all these beautiful serendipitous surprises. But,
yes.
I have every confidence she will, but
me too.
I just want to know she's okay
of
and
course.
That her family is great and that her husband survived his cancer.
Someone on the WIC list might know. This is, by the way, this is how Sue and I met, was through another wonderful network of women.
A great network.
It's not just limited to women. Men can join, too. It's called Women in Consulting. If you're in the Bay Area, you can join. It's the three words, womeninconsulting.com.
Org, I think.
Either one, I think it's there. And, yes, well, that's where I met Sue and a lot of other people. And the whole idea is just people helping other people. And yes, you have the networking event. I just want to say this because of what I'm just pegging off of what you said, Sue, about Sue and I met several years ago and we just chatted at a meeting. And then Sue said, I'd like to get to know you better. Let's have coffee. And so we met and we had coffee and I learned about what she's doing. She learns what I'm doing. And that's why you're here today.
Well, and I have to say, Teresa is a pretty amazing person. And now meeting Janet today, I see the reason why. But again, it's that spirit of generosity and giving. You both embody that.
And there's another underlying kind of philosophy to what you're doing that I hear. And I read this recently, and I can't give credit because I don't remember where I read it. If you've heard this, you can tell me. Somebody had said, it's not what happens to you in life, it's what you do with what happens to you in life that makes a difference. And that was just so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
tell me you're the one who said it. I mean,
No, I'm not. But, you know, one of the books I read only recently, it was a couple of years ago, was Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. And I had not underlined a book so much since college. And college was required. This was because I was so impressed by everything he said. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his story is that in the midst of the most horrific experiences in the Nazi concentration camps, people still had control. He said that they could take away your freedom, even your very life, but they can't take away your memories mm-hmm. and how you choose to respond to a situation. Mm-hmm. And I love that book in the sense that no matter what happens to you, you can determine how you respond to it, and that changes everything after.
Oh, you are such a valuable light in this world, Sue.
Oh, no,
I'm
in the learning process, and I'm just passing it on.
Isn't that what makes a valuable light brighter, is that you're still open to learning and absorbing and giving it out again? Thank you so much for coming to do this with us.
Well, thank you, truly.
And come back again sometime.
I just had a wonderful time this half hour.
Yeah, I'm so grateful.
But unfortunately, it's time to sign off
to
thank all of our listeners for joining us and hope you'll be here this week. Every week. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put your loving thoughts into words, write them down, stamp and mail them while you still have the chance.
Yes, while you still have the chance, even if the other person, the object of your letter, isn't readily visible, do it. Because you'll be doing it for yourself also.
Right.
So.
Okay. Till next time, this is Teresa.
And Janet.
Saying bye-bye.
Bye.